You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. Well, hello and welcome to the China Shop. We're kicking those doors open. Everybody get your asses inside. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. Kyle, how are you doing today?
Hello?
Yeah.
You there?
Yeah. How you doing?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm doing good.
Well, glad to hear it. Yeah, come on in the shop, folks. Sit back, relax, rage against the hedge machine. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way in a complete set of fine china, sharing those ever-growing strategies, though mostly for futures these days. But they apply. It's all the same.
We've actually been doing a lot more stock stuff lately, I think.
Oh, I was just thinking about on the Discord.
Yeah, even on the Discord, I've been posting a lot more stock trade ideas. It's interesting that spending more time focusing on futures, I think, has made me a better trader of stocks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Anything we've learned with futures, like, it carries over. It's all the same auction theory market stuff.
Yeah.
If you are new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out our knowledge center on financialneptitude.com.
We also have a resource page that my wife put together.
Oh.
Any of like the helpful links that we share in these episode descriptions are all getting collected over there.
Oh, awesome.
The resources, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So you can check out our knowledge or resource center on financialneptitude.com or give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have all those links in the episode description. But best place to be is hop on that Discord server. Kyle and I get on there every day, as Kyle just said, sharing stock charts, sharing future stuff, talking about the news, just hanging out sometimes. It's just a great place to be.
Mustaches,
yes.
So many mustaches.
Oh, yes. The bet consequence for losing October was to grow mustaches for November. And Kyle, actually, I got a good mustache story for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm growing this mustache out. I don't like it. And this reinforced
shocking.
It. Shocking. I go to this convenience store, and I got my mask on, and this beautiful young woman opens the door and holds the door for me. And I thank her, and you know, we laugh a little bit, go and say something along the lines of, like, I love equality, living in the future. Women holding doors for me.
Nice.
We go in. We end up, the timing is the same, and on the way out, she's in front of me, holds the door for me again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we gotta stop meeting like this. And she's like, ha ha ha. And we step outside, I pull off my mask, she sees the mustache, and then bolts for her car. I shit you not. just like, nope.
It's November. I lost a bet. Don't go.
Oh.
Oh, God, that makes me so happy.
Fucking mustache.
Oh, the best part is, too, the mask. It's like how people use their photos on, like, the dating apps to hide, like, their obesity. You can use the mask to hide your terrible facial hair.
Yeah.
Anyway, where were we? Show news?
No, I was about to say how if they join the Discord, they need to send us a private message or email with their mailing address.
Oh, yes.
Folks, do that, and we'll send you a Smash It Yourself mug straight from the shop. We got shot glasses, too, and...
We now got koozies, or will have koozies. We also got a new mug design.
Yes, new mug design. I love the koozie you came up with.
That was Laura. That was all Laura.
Oh, Laura, thank you, Laura. That's fucking hilarious.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Join that Discord. We have a lot of fun. Always better with friends.
Get some stuff.
Now, Kyle, do we have any show news?
Here. Okay. So this week we've got Deborah Ellis, advisor from Cogent. Next week will be Matt Reiner. And then the week after that, we've got your crypto friend,
Caleb,
who I have never written his name down. So I should do that right now. While
I should also reach out to him to reconfirm that he's going to be on there. If he backs out, we should try to just get Shauna on.
Oh, perfect. In December, we've got show favorite Richard Friesen. coming back.
Yeah.
And then rounding out our guests for December will be James McInnes, founder of Odd Burger.
The vegan fast food place.
Yes.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Should be. Yeah, and they reached out to us too, which is even better.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Getting a name apparently or something.
Well, I love the China shop. It's getting real fun here. Having business leaders come on and talk to us, and now they're finding us.
Right.
Yes.
And then to wrap up the year, because we'll probably take some time off for the Christmas break, Christmas New Year's break, we're going to do a super bonus episode, and we're getting as many of our past guests as we can to bring them back.
Oh, I'm so excited for that.
So I've already confirmed and scheduled about half of them so far. I'm trying to get the other half. But yeah, that should be a really fun episode. Hopefully tide you guys over while we finally get a break.
Yeah, we should do better at that, because we like never take a break. It's like, wait, when am I going to get like a weekend where I'm not spending half Saturday recording and editing?
We just need to get big enough to hire that editor.
Oh, you're right.
Speaking of which, you can donate via the PayPal link.
Or if you are an editor and you want to volunteer your time, let me know. You get early access to all the goodies.
Ah, there you go.
All right, Kyle, should we move on? Tell them what kind of show we got it for them today?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
we haven't done that yet.
Jeez. We have a passionate, peppery,
rambling,
perky show for you today. Triple P. Lots of market moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than guests that are willing to return for a December special.
Nice. I also noticed you didn't use profitable as one of your P's.
Oh, I don't know if the show is the show profitable. Reach out to us, folks. We love your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook, Discord. We got that Discord link in the episode description. If you're old school, you can send us an email to twobulls@financialineptitude.com. That's the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. Or you can shoot us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe some watery tart just threw a sword at you, and now you're the king of England. It doesn't matter. We love it when you reach out.
Now we see the violence that's inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed.
we want to talk about the bet results.
Yes. I get to go first this week, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, please do.
All right. I went with Visa, thinking it was going to tag that 225, fill that gap, but it did not. It opened at 218.37. I think it peaked around 221, then fell in the end of the week at 212.09. So it took my total from 617.33 down to 599.58.
Wow. Well, you're hopefully losing that lead quicker and quicker as each week goes on.
Yeah. I think it's safe. I just got to stick with safe stocks and hope you don't hit a home run.
Right? And I'm like, oh God, I got to find a home run. I've been so bad the last 6 months. I'm not doing great on the bets. Mine was Tesla, and I figured, why not just be like retail and buy at the top?
I mean, Tesla's not, it's got such a dedicated fan base that,
yeah,
really, any other week, I think you'd have been right on the money.
Yeah, but this weekend, Mr. Musk ran a Twitter poll asking if he should sell off 10% of his Tesla, and 2/3 said yes.
And pay taxes? I was one of them.
Apparently, he has a big tax bill anyway, so this was in the making, but I didn't know about it. His brother, Maya, just happened to sell his Tesla first, go figure. Mm. Anyway.
Wow, surprising.
Surprising, shocking. We should talk more about Tesla later. But to wrap up the bet, it opened at $1,149 and change, quickly hit my stop loss of $1,125. I was actually kind of lucky that he tweeted that on the weekend and not on like Tuesday.
Right. You almost just had a no trade because it almost opened below your stop limit.
Yeah, it was like
really close.
$25, like which percentage wise of 1150?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Kyle, what did that bring my total to? 480 something?
483.41. Or 472.99, I mean. Sorry, that was your previous week. 472.99.
I'm only lost $28. I'm doing better on the bet than I am on my own equities. But anyway.
There you go. All right. Then Random had GP, which opened at $15 even and closed at $14.62. So Random is sitting at $496.52.
Oh, God. At least got to get something.
Fuck you, Random.
Bob, yeah. Random. Okay. All right. Well, stay tuned to the end of the episode. We'll be making more bets, and hopefully I'll come up with a pick that doesn't make me sad next week.
Suck. That the founder doesn't sell off tomorrow.
I'm going Berkshire Hathaway. Oh my God, Warren Buffett died and his will says to dump all his stocks and sell the money to charity.
Oh, that would happen. All right, let's do some news, Dan.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are, it's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now, it's time for China Shop News.
Okay, Kyle, I think all your stories are the ones that are the biggest that people are talking about.
Okay, I'll go ahead and hit those first then. Number one on the list is the infrastructure bill getting passed by Congress. Biden should be signing that into law on Monday. It's a $1.2 trillion bill that also includes half a trillion over 5 years for ports, airports, railroads, bridges, mass transit, etc.
Yeah.
It includes tens of billions of dollars for improving broadband, the electrical grid, and a nationwide network of EV chargers. So after this, I think it was tied up in the House for a while. Once the House got it passed, though, I think we started to see renewed interest in things like Plug Power and EVs in general. FSOD has been jumping.
Yeah.
So good for those companies. And hopefully, in the next 5 to 10 years, this will alleviate the supply chain crisis.
That would be awesome. Infrastructure used to be like a classical bipartisan, like,
yeah,
no problem getting it passed. I don't know what that says about where we're at today.
Well, part of the problem was just how big it was. I mean, this is like, I think, the largest infrastructure bill in like the history of the country.
Yeah, it's a big one. We can't underestimate the amount of dollars going into it. But also, like, because of inflation, like, is it the largest with inflation adjustments?
I don't know the answer to that. I would have thought that the interstate project, was the interstate project considered an infrastructure bill?
I don't remember what it is, but...
Because I think to date, inflation spending, I think that was considered like the largest government spending project in the U.S.
I don't know the answers to those questions, but I do know that a lot of our nation's bridges need some attention.
Yeah, wasn't there one? There's the Memphis Bridge was like shut down for I don't know how long. I remember living there. I don't know there was any other way to get around. It was like the main bridge across the river.
Oh yeah, you just have to float it on a barge,
I guess. I don't know. Maybe there's ferries.
If it was Oregon Trail, you could caulk your car and
ford the river.
Ford the river.
Anyway, this should be getting signed into law on Monday. I think Biden's going to be doing a big old ceremony for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep an eye on those stocks that should benefit, especially the EV sector.
Yes. The building of EV stations across the country will alleviate a lot of people that are maybe thinking about buying an electric car, but don't, because they're like, where am I going to charge it? I don't want to get stuck.
There's also a really interesting thing that popped up. I think it was on Twitter. Yeah, when the infrastructure deal got passed, before the deal was announced, there was a bunch of the House members that were buying up stocks in broadband, EV, general infrastructure, power infrastructure, rail.
You don't say.
Yeah. So weird, isn't it?
That's, you know, I just love heartwarming coincidences like that. I just love knowing that our elected representatives are profiting off of their positions.
They're so smart.
It makes them so smart, you know?
Yeah.
Well, didn't it come out that like everybody's like, oh yeah, Fed chairman's trading, no big deal.
It was the White House, yeah,
the White House, yeah, no big deal.
Well, we don't see anything wrong with what he did. Yeah, everybody else is insider trading. What's the big deal?
Right? We just normalized it, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. You're an idiot not to insider trade. If you have that information, you might as well make a couple bucks off of it.
All right. The other story that was the big one for this week was the inflation numbers came out for October.
Ooh.
It was a 0.9% month over month increase in October versus a 0.06 or 0.6 expected. That brings the year over year up to 6.2% increase, which is the highest it's been in 30 years.
Oh, that's a kick to the gut.
Mohammed El Arian? Arian?
Mm-hmm.
Mohammed El Arian? He criticized the narrative of transitory inflation in an interview on Bloomberg.
Say transitory one more time, motherfucker.
Finally, people are pushing back on this. Yeah, he says you simply can't dismiss them as transitory. It's going to go down in history as one of the worst inflation calls in history.
Yeah. It kind of makes me feel good about us a year ago saying, how can you print all this money and not have massive, rampant, runaway inflation?
Well, I mean, it kind of goes...
I should actually pull up the clips.
It goes to the point of... Yeah, it goes to the point of like who they elected to be the Fed chair.
Yeah.
And I keep seeing this term dovish, and I think I finally figured out what that meant. They're just cooing to the public, trying to reassure them.
Oh.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's all good. Okay. It's okay. And Hawkish is screech.
Yeah.
We're fucked.
So, yeah, Elrian was saying that they got stuck on this narrative and held onto it for too long, and the result of which is they're looking at inflation that's much higher than they ever expected, much broader than they expected, and it's going to last even longer than they expected.
Yeah.
Says he desperately wants to be wrong on this call, because if inflation ends up being hotter for longer, it's very unfortunate economic, financial, institutional, social, and political implications.
Yeah. Things are going to break down all across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to hurt.
But I don't disagree with him.
No, I do not disagree with him.
But he also think Powell's been doing his job, because you know the market's still going up.
Oh god,
nobody seems to be concerned.
Like when we were fucking doing futures, we talked about it a little bit last week, and they had mm-hmm. that call, and he was like, yeah, shit's bad, and the market just bumps to a new high. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What is happening right now?
Stonks go up.
That kind of brings us to one of my stories.
Yeah,
the headline on Market Watch was doubting that we could be in a stock market bubble. Here's the chart you need to see. And it's basically a chart of the S&P 500 market cap as a percentage of the GDP.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to 1990. In 1990, the S&P market cap was around 20 to 30% of the GDP.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the dot-com bubble, 2000, it was 120%. So the S&P mm-hmm. was worth more, the market cap of the S&P was worth more than the United States GDP, gross domestic products.
Right.
You know, it went down a little bit, but where we're at right now is at 170%.
Yeah, that seems high.
Yeah, when the value of the companies, of those 500 companies, is almost double what we actually produce as a nation.
Well, not all those companies are based in the U.S., though, are they?
Well, that's a really damn good question.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're not.
They are companies based in the United States.
Really, they are?
Yeah.
Hmm.
500 leading United States publicly traded companies.
All right, then. I stand corrected.
Yeah. Well, I bet you're sitting down right now, Kyle.
I am.
You sit corrected, you fucking liar.
I see where you're going.
How can I trust you on anything now? Yeah, it's kind of a stark picture of how expensive the market is today relative.
Well, I mean, everyone knows that everything's inflated right now. The problem is trying to figure out when it's going to pop. And that's not something that you can really predict with any certainty. What's that saying? The stock market can remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent?
Yes. That Market Watch article also brought up how the $3 trillion crypto market is a clear illustration of an environment that knows no fear. Because crypto, it's kind of all speculation right now, right?
I don't know. I guess
maybe you shouldn't say the crypto market as a whole is not speculation, but the majority of coins in the crypto market are pure speculative purposes. Like you're trading them not because they're doing a great thing. It's not like the coin. Anyway, I could talk more about that in crypto, but you're just hoping that the value goes up, not that the company behind the coin gets a bigger contract.
Well, to be honest, I mean, I feel like all investing is speculative.
Warren Buffett would disagree. Sometimes you're buying a strong company with strong profits, and I guess you could technically say you're speculating that it will continue, but ultimately, you know, buying Coke stock is not like buying Rivian electrical vehicle stock. You know, one is proven profits and one is growing. Anyway,
yeah, that's a good point.
Anyway, I had what I consider to be an intriguing story about China. You know, we are the China shop.
I love bashing China.
Bashing China. Oh, yeah. Part of me wanted to go into like a geopolitical discussion about the origins of work ethic in different countries based on their traditional classic agricultural use, but yeah, exactly. Oh, nobody wants to hear that shit.
Do you listen to the show, Dan?
Apparently, China's been sending letters to U.S. companies, their executives, and different business groups, asking and encouraging them to fight against China-related bills in Congress.
Specifically, bills that seek to enhance U.S. competitiveness.
Yes, yes. And I actually, we'll get to it later, but yeah, I actually was like, okay, what bills, you know, what bills are they attacking and why? So, first off, I want to say nobody who talked to these reporters wanted to go on record. There is some legal implications with the because they're foreign governments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Foreign Agents Registration Act?
Yeah.
Yeah. So nobody wants to get caught up in like a big get sucked into the courtroom to have to testify against China. That would that's not going to end well.
That probably wouldn't be good for your business relationship.
So the two acts, one is the U.S. Innovation and Competition Act, known as USICA. Mm-hmm. That's already passed the Senate with bipartisan support. That one is $100 billion to invest in AI, semiconductors, quantum computers, mm-hmm. energy, communications, biotech. Interestingly enough, the part I liked about it was it's an additional $10 billion. They want to build 10 tech hubs and create a supply chain crisis response team.
Uh-huh.
Which I really like the idea of having things be able to be coordinated. It's something that the Chinese authoritarian government just does naturally, and I feel like we should be playing catch up. We should be coordinating our supply chains, or at least have a system in place in which businesses can go to coordinate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Really like that. The other one is the Eagle Act. Now the Eagle Act hasn't passed; it's still being debated. The Eagle Act is all about foreign workers and like the H-1B work visas.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagle Act is the main parts of it. It was, I actually had to open up the fucking thing on congress.gov because there's no Wikipedia page like there was for the USICA. So basically it wants to prohibit advertising positions as only open to or preferring the work visas. You can't be like, oh, we got a programmer and we really want to hire somebody from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, they want to cap companies and saying you can't have more than half of your workforce be non-immigrant workers.
Huh.
I don't know. I could just be really ignorant. I didn't read anything in it where I was like, well, this is bad for America.
No, it sounds like they're trying to increase the, you know, people in America's chances of getting some of these jobs, right?
It did. That is how I read it. Yes. So China has been pushing business leaders to fight these bills, right? Here's a quote from one of their supposed letters. We sincerely hope you will play a positive role in urging members of Congress to abandon the zero-sum mindset and ideological prejudice. Stop touting negative China-related bills. Delete negative provisions so as to create favorable conditions for bilateral economic and trade cooperation before it's too late.
Stop stealing our technology and then maybe we'll talk.
This kind of sounds like a threat to me, this next part. Promoting a China-free supply chain will inevitably result in a decline in China's demand for U.S. products and American companies' loss of market share and revenue in China.
That is a threat.
And as we have seen from things like films,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, we really want this film to play globally. Oh, China doesn't like this scene. Well, we'll take it out.
Yeah.
So we can air it in China. It's like, wait, what? No. Just, what happened to just making fucking movies? God damn it. Yeah, right. You think movies have an agenda? Just look at how they are businesses, people.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how they play to China.
I think South Park covered that pretty well.
They really, really did. Oh, God. I love their Winnie the Pooh shit and Mickey Mouse shit in China. Oh, so good. So good. Yeah, so The crazy thing is, I mean, I guess I could see how the Eagle Act might hurt them, but the USICA, like, they're literally saying we shouldn't invest $100 billion in our own AI, semiconductors, quantum computing tech development.
Right.
Like we got it, guys. You don't need to do that.
Just what? Be relying on us for that. Just... No, that sounds like a terrible idea.
God damn it, China.
Anyway, before this gets too out of control.
Sorry, my apologies. Get all fired up. I'm hot.
Maybe it's time to move on and talk about Sue Pullen.
Oh, the fucking amazing Sue Pullen.
Some loans are just a big mistake. And up over your head. Drowning in those rates and fees. Someone left on. Sue's the right kind of lender to find the thing that fits your needs. And you just have to call her, 'cause you know that she was born to be. She's a loan maker, dream banker, debt saver. Won't you call her up and see? She's a loan maker, dream banker, debt saver. Won't you call her up? Go, go, go.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She's got over 20 years experience helping thousands of homeowners purchase, refinance, even do reverse mortgages. Sue will help. She loves to help. It's who she is. I've met her. I know her. I'm not making this shit up. She's licensed in 27 states. Reach out and see what she can do for you. If she's not licensed in your state, she can find you somebody who is, or get licensed yourself. She's that kind of a go-getter.
She will.
Best way to reach her is just give her a call, 520-977-7904, or you can send her an email, spullen, S-P-U-L-L-E-N, at fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048. That email again is spullen at fairwaymc.com, and that phone number, 520-977-7904. Reach out and see what Sue can do for you.
Man, Two Bulls in a China Shop is also a proud affiliate of the Trade Pro Academy. Trade Pro Academy is our favorite educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. Mm-hmm. Got a great staff of highly knowledgeable, successful traders, and there's no better place that we've found to learn all you need to know to be a successful trader. They've actually made us somewhat successful. Mm-hmm. And if you've listened to us for the last year, you know that was no small task. You can find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the episode description. If you join our Discord, we still have that 10% discount code and links. We were speaking with George, too. I think they were in the middle of redoing or updating their futures courses. So
yes,
definitely worth checking them out again, too.
Yeah,
constantly putting new stuff on there. They've got great market research. Their Discord and their Zoom calls in the morning are awesome to be part of. Just all kinds of great resources that should help you on your trading journey.
Absolutely. Shall we move on and talk about some stocks?
Let's do it.
You say you own a ticker that wins. The bell just rung, it's time to get in. Ups drive us wild, drops drive us crazy.
Can we start this with your bet pick?
Oh, yeah. Tesla. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Tesla is, I think they had their worst week in the last 20 months. The stock is down 15.4%. This is after Musk has sold $6.9 billion worth of stock so far. He's selling 10% of his stake due to that Twitter poll. One of the interesting things that I found, though, in looking through this article was that the financial filings show that some of that sale was going to happen no matter what the results of that poll was.
Yeah, like the poll was just to make it look like he's letting his fans control what he does.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been joking around about this on I think the TradePro Discord. It sounds to me like he's using this poll as like an excuse to sell it at all-time highs without spooking everybody too much.
Yeah, Yeah, no, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
So he sold $6.9 billion. Is that, does he still have more to sell, or is that the end of it? He's supposed to be selling 10% of his holdings. I think he still has 166 million shares left.
What is his net worth?
He was the richest man in the world.
Yeah, $281.6 billion, according to Google.
So he still needs to sell another, four times that amount? 21 million or 21 billion he still needs to sell? Is that right?
So if 6 billion is 10% of his stake, then he had 60 billion of that in Tesla? I don't know.
6.9. It was almost 7 billion.
Good Lord. Well, he doesn't get paid a salary. He gets paid stock, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, shit.
But still, if only the 7 billion is dropped at this much, then yeah, there's still more to go.
Well, I'm saying is your argument makes a ton of sense. Like, he wants to sell at all-time highs, get some cash out, because, I mean, he's 281 billion. He's not liquid.
Right.
You know, it's not just cash.
Although some of that net worth is probably SpaceX valuation too, though.
Mm.
I'm not sure what they have that at, but I imagine there's still more to go. $7 billion doesn't seem like enough.
Yeah.
Looking at the Tesla charts, though, if you remember, was it 2 weeks ago, we were talking about that gap that needs to be filled between 950 and 910-ish. Yeah, that's starting to look more and more probable.
probable that it'll get filled?
Yeah.
You know, when I'm looking at that stock, I've been playing a lot with the Bollinger Bands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm looking at it on the weekly. It won't have reverted to the mean, the average, the moving average,
mm-hmm.
until it gets below to 790. That will be the moving average.
Wow.
So it's got some ways to go. Like, it's really been pushing that band up higher.
Jeez.
If it were to revert to the EMA.
It's moved so much this last couple weeks that I had to actually flip to the hourly chart to try to draw some support lines. But I guess the big one is around 988. I have to watch that. I think if that breaks, then we're probably going to fill that gap.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. So everybody short Tesla. It's never put anybody into bankruptcy before. No hedge funds have ever gotten burned. Just short.
I was tempted to message you and say that you could short Tesla if you wanted to flip your bet pick. Because it still hadn't happened yet. But then I thought, nah, I want to win this month.
Fuck Dan. I want to win. Hey, yeah, fair enough. No, I mean, I didn't actually put money in Tesla for the bet. So to me, it's just fuel and fodder for the show.
Nah, Tesla is a tough one to try to trade because it's just so expensive and the IV is so high. So like any of the call options, you got to either buy way out the money and just try to play momentum,
mm-hmm.
or you got to have a lot of cash. So yeah, I don't really trade Tesla either. Amazon's another one like that. That's just too high. That's out of my price range. What other stocks we got in the news that are worth watching or looking at?
There were, crazy enough, three announcements from three different companies that they're going to split. I wanted to talk about Johnson & Johnson because that's the one that's been on my watch list for the longest.
GE, we've already talked about that one. So, yeah, we can... I'll just quickly recap. We were watching that for it to hit 107 or break above 107 in order to push 115 again. And it pretty much did exactly that. Broke that 107, tagged the 115, and then now it's right back on that, right back at that 107, acting as support now. Johnson & Johnson was the other one. Toshiba is another one that said they were splitting up too. But Johnson & Johnson, yeah, let's look at that one.
They are splitting their consumer division and their more speculative, like research, medical device, pharmaceutical division,
mm-hmm.
Which includes robotics and AI. I mean, they're really taking on all future development.
Wow.
We're gonna be a part of all of them. Which, I mean, I did want to ask you about this because when I was reading the article, I was thinking they were like, this will help us with cash liquidity, and I was thinking to myself, like, why is it more profitable for a company like Johnson & Johnson to split those into separate entities instead of keeping them? Like, what happened to the, like, we used to live in an era of giant conglomerates.
Well, when you can split it up, you can get rid of like multiple positions that are trying to oversee and link them multiple different businesses.
Mm.
I think it more just helps with your management and allowing you to have two groups that focus on one thing rather than having trying to hire jack of all trades to manage the entire business.
Do you think it has anything to do with them wanting to move the class action lawsuit against them to just the consumer products?
Yes. When Alcoa split up between Alcoa and Arconic, they split off the high value name and then put all the pension debt with the subsidiary that they spun off with Arconic. So yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. I think they're trying to put all of their legal obligations into one umbrella and then allowing the other whatever the other company ends up being to be able to be free from that.
Yeah, they don't have a name for it,
right?
The new company. Well, looking at their stock, it did have a nice big gap up on that news on Friday.
It kind of did the same thing that GE did, where it initially spiked and then just kind of sold off immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to be keeping an eye on GE to get a feel for what I think Johnson & Johnson might do. Johnson & Johnson is pretty neat, though. I was looking at the charts and I found the resistance line that I had drawn up. God, this is probably months ago when I first started looking at the stock at 167.70. And that's exactly, that's right where the price tagged and then bounced right back off of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
It's just, it's always nice when you pull up an old chart and then you see like, exactly when you see these lines and levels that you draw out and they all end up working out, still just goes to speak to the power of technical analysis.
Yeah I had support at 161. Yep. 80-ish.
I've got one right there too.
And it broke through it and then it popped back up and then it held again.
Yeah, so those are the two levels to watch for this for sure, right? The 161.80-ish and then the 167.70. Mm-hmm. Watch for it to break out of one of those two zones for a run back to, let's see, probably 171 area. Or if it falls, we could see it drop back down to 157. Possibly even 153.
Yeah. Well, I had mine run up to 172, but 171 is fine.
Yeah, that's about the same. Yeah.
My level was 157 below. I didn't go lower than that, but 152, yeah, now that I'm looking at it. Yep. Yeah, it's just ranging. What I want to know is if I own a share of Johnson & Johnson and they split into two companies, do I get shares of both companies?
Yes.
Okay.
And the value of it will be, it'll basically split the value between the two of them. So rather than one share where it's 165, you'll have two stocks that should be worth about the same.
Right, like 82.50 each.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, so got my Johnson & Johnson. Let me pull up the weekly chart real quick. I think...
Looking at the volume profile, too, there's a lot of volume traded at 164, so that should be some good support.
Yeah.
For it to come back down to and then maybe continue this wave higher.
I like the weekly candles. I really do. It's under its 20-week moving average, but...
Yeah.
I think it's on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
I was originally watching it because it was hitting all-time highs this summer.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I ultimately want to see. But like we just said, we got different levels. We don't know what's going to happen. I can't imagine with it moving forward that it's going to get to crash too much lower, you know, than maybe 152 at the max.
Yeah.
And that's where it's 100 EMA is at. What was that? 156. So if it gets down there and we see a lot of increase in buying volume, then you probably want to get on board too, because that's institutional money. That's what you want to hop on the train when they hop on.
There you go. All right. Any other companies in the news worth looking at?
I was kind of intrigued by the Deere and Company, the tractor company.
John Deere?
Yeah. The stock ticker is DE.
There they are.
They're in the middle of a strike, and the company announced that they're about to give them their most generous offer. And it's amazing to me how strike news doesn't seem to affect the stock. Like, I would assume it would. Like, my personal retail fear is like, oh shit, they're not, if their workers aren't creating things, then how are they going to make sales? Because they won't have products to sell.
Well, when I worked for companies that were union-based, like, whenever like a location would go on strike, they'd send a management team over there to run the equipment.
Oh, so you don't think it's really affecting their output as badly as I might assume?
It'll affect the output, but they'll still be putting out stuff, I think. If they function the same way as like my past experience has been.
Well, it would make sense. It's because we don't, you know, remember with Kellogg's, like,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. The strike news does not affect the stock price. But I looked at the stock price because of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this year. It's got pretty solid support at 320.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
And doesn't seem to want to break 400. It tried once, but it's really... 390 seems to be the top. So it's kind of got this $80 range that it's been doing this whole year, and it's right now in the middle of it. Do you think, and this was my big question in looking at the stock, do you think positive strike news will bring the share up? Like,
I don't know.
Ending the strike and like a feel good PR story for like, look what we gave to our workers. Cause right now the climate, they're calling it the great resignation, right? Nobody wants to work.
Right.
For what they're getting paid.
I'm looking at the weekly chart and I just don't see, I don't know. It's flagging like really nicely, but I don't like this tweezer top that we just printed on the weekly.
Oh, I just switched over to the weekly. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Could not break 366.
Still looks like a nice bull flag, though.
That's what I was thinking.
I'd be scared of this one.
Okay, well.
I don't know, Dan. That's a tough question. If a month-long strike hasn't really knocked the price down much, I don't know that the strike resolution is going to make much of a difference either, because it just seems like nobody really cares about it at all.
Well, where do you think the next resistance above is at?
I think it'd be right where that tweezer top was, but 365.
That's what I was thinking, too.
That's right where the volume really thins out to. If it breaks above that, then you've got another volume profile at 370, 375 area. But I don't know.
If it gets back down to 320 range in that area, because it was 1, 2, 3, it was only 5, 6 weeks ago that it was down there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're talking a pretty decent movement. I mean, when it's $360, I mean, it's only 10, 12, 13% move. I might be tempted to get some long-term call options and pick up one, see what it does, what do they call it, leap.
Mm-hmm. Try to pick it up at the bottom of that support band.
Yes.
And just play that range.
Just play that range. I can't imagine agricultural equipment going away. Like they've got guaranteed sales. This is like the number one company.
Interestingly enough, too, they're also part of the ARC Space Fund.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not because Kathy Wood is an idiot and was padding the ARC Space no, Fund.
Right.
It's because we get to Mars, we're going to need terraforming equipment. Who do you think makes giant?
Right.
Land, basically, that's what they do. They make equipment to move and change and work the land. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I had it on my radar. Do you have any other ones?
I've got a few. Nothing really in the news. Palantir just recently came out with their earnings. That was not all that great. They saw a pretty steep sell-off recently.
Mm-hmm. Best time to sell some puts.
Yes, and that's what I did. I sold some $22 puts for December.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it's finding support right around that 22 level, but that fails and it could hit 2075 again. And then if that fails, then I'm looking at maybe running back down to 1750. It's a gamble, but I'd be happy picking up the shares with a cost basis of $21 a share.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm looking, I think their earnings were actually not bad. It was a surprise beat by about 7%. Revenue is also a surprise beat too,
but the investors just thought it was going to be bigger.
Either they thought it was going to be bigger or everyone bought in before the earnings came out. It had been on a little bit of a bear run or bull run lately with higher highs.
Mm-hmm. Coming off of October,
maybe keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on the 2375 level. I think if it can break that, then you're looking at maybe pushing 25 and then maybe another run up to 26, 27.
I was just, I'm just looking to see the gap from this week from 2420 down to 2360. Oh, I want to see that get filled.
It'll get filled eventually.
I don't
know. No telling when.
I
think it's a good company. I think it'd be worth trying to accumulate.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think this is a good dip to pick it up on, is what I'm saying.
I'm just not sure. I'm not convinced it's not done dipping yet.
Well, the Thursday, Friday, the volume, they may have been down days, but the volume and the movement.
Yes.
Down significantly.
Yep, that's why I sold those puts. The last one I wanted to talk about was Live Nation. And I'm actually kind of kicking myself for not picking up puts on Friday.
Live Nation. Do they do like concerts and stuff?
I have no idea. let's see. Consumer services, movies, entertainment. They had their earnings on the 4th and then saw a big gap up on the next day. Tagged a whole new all-time high at almost 128, but then it's just been slowly kind of declining since then. I had a support line drawn at 114 that it recently fell below, and then looks like it came back up and tested it again. But it's starting to fill that gap from that gap up, and I think that, once a gap starts to get filled, it's likely to continue until it fills it. And this is like a real gap, like no volume has ever traded in that level.
Okay. What's their stock ticker?
LYV.
Live Nation Entertainment. Okay.
Definitely still bullish. I had this one mapped out because I had an ascending triangle going on all the way through. It finally broke out in the end of September.
Yeah.
Beginning of October.
Oh, yeah. That was a good breakout, too.
Yeah. I was really pleased with spotting that one. I think, though, if this does go down and fill that gap, I might actually look at trying to buy some shares if I see how well that 102 support holds up. You got 106 area that might be a good place to add. Then 102, you can make another second addition if you wanted to get long on this stock.
I think 98 to 100 it would be where I'd get in.
That would probably be the best point, but I don't know that it's going to dip that much.
Looking at the weekly, the $100 is right in between the two large volume nodes at the top here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who knows if they'll get it down.
Well, that's why you split your entries up into 3 points too, right? You can make your aggressive entry, you can make your moderate entry, and then your I hope it gets to this level.
And that's such a weird thing for beginning traders is like, I hope it gets down this low.
Right.
Like the idea is like, oh, we always want it to go up, 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 up. It's like, well...
Well, you need a point to get on board. You don't want to buy it when it's going up, 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 up. You want to buy it when, like you said, when the institutional money is starting to get in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just something that auction theory has taught us, you know, once somebody's bought it, now they're a seller.
Mm-hmm.
They can't make any money until they sell it. So that's why, you know, you've got those waves, excuse me, up and down. We better wrap this up because it's getting really, really long. Really
yes, it
long.
Is. Yeah,
I just looked
at
the time. Let's talk about some earnings.
All right. Let's see. Coming up on Monday, we've got Lucid, Oatly, Advanced Auto Parts. Tuesday, we've got Walmart, Home Depot, Jumia, Dolby. I haven't looked at Dolby in a while. I need to look at their chart again. Wednesday, Target, Nvidia, Cisco, Lowe's, Sonos. Thursday, Alibaba, Macy's, Ross, Farfetch, one of your personal favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 12th, we've got Foot Locker.
Okay. I think though, the thing that we're supposed to talk about next...
Crypto.
...is crypto.
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency.
Boom, boom, boom. Kyle, I got a Coinbase account and have started trading crypto.
Have you?
Yeah.
How do you like those fees?
Do not like them fees.
My God. I know my first purchase, if I would have known how much they were charging to buy assets, good Lord, I probably wouldn't have opened it.
I was like, oh, I want to. Okay. I went through and I did the free stuff to get the free coins.
Yeah.
And then I totally ignorant, didn't do any research. I was like, well, let's just convert these to cash and then buy something else. Not like, I'll just convert this to the coin I want.
Yeah. That's the way you have to do it.
Yeah. But the thing that really, I wanted to buy AMP coins and stake them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like 5-6 cents a coin, a token. But the fee for transferring them from Coinbase to the Coinbase wallet was 15 bucks. And I only had like 25 bucks worth of AMP. So it's you want to take that $25 of AMP and turn it into 10 and then let it grow? I was like, no. No, I think I'll get more growth by not putting it in the wallet.
There's still conversion fees, but they're not nearly as bad as the like trying to just sell it and convert it to cash.
Yeah, I just I find it annoying that I can't just put it in the wallet.
Yeah.
But I had a thought that I ran by you and I wanted to discuss live, which was these. You join Coinbase and they're like giving you these tokens. Like I think I got Fetch AI, AMP, and
yeah, there's a ton of them.
I don't remember the other one. And the first thing I did was move out of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was thinking, like, it's got to be the common thing to somebody joins Coinbase and is just handed these tokens during this promotion. And I'm really interested in what happens after the promotion ends.
Yeah, I just wonder how you know when the promotion's over. Because, like, I've noticed, too, I think when the promotion first starts, you see an increase in the price or the value, which makes sense, because if everybody's doing this, you know, the promotion on their phone, getting their free tokens, then there's just a lot of asset being purchased to give away. But then, like you said, like you see that decline pretty sharply after that period as people move out of those, you know, basically shit coins into something that, you know, they actually want, like Ethereum or Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I have not seen it. To me, it looks like they spike up in value and then just decline after that. I don't know that I've seen them bounce. I don't know that it's worth trying to purchase them after the promotion's over, but I have no data to back that up either.
Yeah. My thought was promotion ends, then I keep an eyeball on it. And Coinbase, don't look at the charts on Coinbase. They tell you nothing.
Oh, and they're so out of date too. Like, it'll show you a price, yeah, but if you hold the little, you know, scroll over, like, the actual price is like 30 cents higher. Like, what the fuck?
I think it's because people who are new to trading in general just jump right in and they do crypto first. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't put up with the Coinbase interface no. from Ameritrade.
No.
Like, it's like, what, you don't get any information about this shit. Yeah. You have to load it up on other charts. But I wanted to, you know, watch for like AMP at 5 cents. Like, I want to see the promotion end. I want to see a little bit of time because it's not going to be overnight. And then just watch for volume. I have to get back on the Discord. I know Shano shared some of those websites where you can watch the volume of the cryptos being traded.
Well, the nice thing too is you can actually pull them up on TradingView. I'm looking at Mana right now. You just have to select which asset you want the conversion for. So select Mana to US dollar, then it'll show you the trading price right now with volume.
Yes. That's the first thing I did was I loaded them all up on TradingView and was like, yeah, I don't want any of these coins tokens they just gave.
I think I kept one that they gave me, and that was the Stellar Lumens, and that's just because I like the name. All the other ones, I converted them over to Ethereum, and I converted a bunch to LTC Litecoin after Shano was talking that one up. I like his I like his case.
I also moved in on some LTC. I thought he made a really good case on the Discord, and I thought, why not dip my toes in it with somebody who is experienced, giving me a good tip that seems very well reasoned.
Mm-hmm.
That's so I ended up in Litecoin and Cardano. I feel like Cardano is finding some support.
Yep.
I just moved
out some Mana to into Cardano because I felt like Cardano was, like you said, hitting support and getting ready to make another move higher.
Yeah, just had a sell off from a high, and but it didn't find a new lower low.
Mana's also been starting to run up again too, so that's another one you might want to keep an eye on. That's the one that got the big boost from Facebook when they changed their name to Meta. It's one of those metaverse cryptos.
Oh,
it's been seeing some action again lately. Trading over $3.42 right now after bottoming out around $2.20.
Yeah, I like it because it touched the 20 day EMA and then just popped right back up off of it. I wouldn't buy it right now myself.
Yeah, you want to wait for a pullback, but volume was starting to increase too. So
I want the $3 area to hold as support.
Yeah,
if it does, I'll move into some Mana. Hey, look at us talking about crypto now.
Oh my gosh, yeah, what happened?
Crypto trading. What the fuck happened?
All right.
Anyway, all right. So there you have it. Any other coins that you come across and you want us to talk about, send us a message, let us know.
Yep.
More than happy to do some technical analysis on these charts.
We love looking at charts. It's our favorite thing to do.
Really? I look at charts so much.
I know.
One of our Discord users, Ryan M., posted a chart on the turkey price.
Yeah, I saw that.
Over time.
I was looking for the volume.
I was like, where's the volume? Where's the bar? How many turkeys are being traded at this price?
Yeah, do people want to buy turkeys at that price? Or they...
Look at that. Look at that $12 support right there. Let's see if it can break through the $20 resistance. He's really skewed my brain.
Yep. Oh. Same here.
Oh, hey, Kyle, draw, motherfucker.
Pew, pew.
Whew, Kyle, I had a rough week emotionally.
I know you did.
I haven't talked too much about it this episode, but now that we're at the good, the bad, and the ugly, I have to bring it up. Because my good only makes sense if you know what my ugly was.
So we start with the ugly first, then?
I don't know. I'll tease it.
Okay.
Because I want them to know, but then they'll be like, hey, what is he talking about? My good was on Friday, I made one trade.
Mm-hmm.
That was my good. And it was profitable.
Yep. Trade scarcity is an important thing.
It really is. But on top of that, I set out a new list of rules for myself,
mm-hmm.
and I managed to follow them. And by following them, I only made one trade, and it was profitable. That was my good of the week.
How's your confidence feeling right now?
Oh, world's better. World's better. Because I really... Anyway, I'll get that in the ugly. But yeah, my confidence is a lot better than it was midweek.
That's my good, because my last week, I think my bad was like losing my confidence, and I feel like I've been getting it back. I feel like I have it back. One of the things that really helped, though, was going back and looking at these stocks that we talked about over the past month. I went back and tallied them up, because I'm going to start posting them like 4 weeks after we talk about them. I want to do a review and look, just see how we did. And like, we're freaking hitting some good winners, Dan. Like, we seem to know what we're actually talking about. Things seem to be working out the way we think they're going to.
Well, that is heartwarming news, for sure.
And I think that's when you were having some of your struggles, I sent you like, here's your picks over the last month, Dan. This is what you said would happen, and this is what happened. You're doing this.
And I still can't pick a bet to save my life.
I know. I know. Bet pick needs to be one of the stocks that we talked about. Anyway, okay, so what was your bad then?
My bad is I've gotten really bad about logging trades, not just for myself, but like the Discord, even my futures trades. I'm not like some 25-year-old veteran where it's like, no, I got this
right
process down. It's just ingrained. I'm not. I'm still what I would consider a rookie. If I was a manager hiring in the industry, I'd be like, oh, you've been doing it casually for a year and a half now, and you took some courses a few months ago? Yeah, you're a fucking rookie.
Yes, excellent point.
So I got to get better at logging not just the trade, but my reasons for the trade, because that's how you can go back and improve.
That's actually my bad too, is kind of similar. I do a good job of posting it to the Discord, and I've kind of been turning the Discord into my personal trade log. And to where I'm not keeping as good notes on my actual, like, you know, hard copy that I have to review. So I need to get better at putting all those trades into my notes.
It's such an important process, part of the process.
Yep.
To get better.
You know, I did do what George recommended, and we talked to him on the Hot Wing Challenge, and started keeping a Hall of Fame trade log too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So those trades that really like just hit it out of the park, like, I'm putting those in there, so that way I have something to go back and review when I have those confidence issues. Be like, ah, look, see, I can do this. I've done it. Here's where I did it.
That's exactly my thought process too, because we were talking about the Hall of Fame thing earlier in the week, mm-hmm. privately together, and I realized, like, by not like posting on the Discord, like, where's my Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Like, I can look, I actually have a couple that are on my futures log where it's like, oh, I did really well, but it doesn't invoke the same feeling, because there's no charts or anything. It's just the log of, like, I had these engines, it was in this zone, and I made the trade and made all these points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doesn't quite evoke the same psychological feeling of, oh yes, that's the state I was in when I did it right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you teased it. What was your ugly?
Yeah, I went off the rails Wednesday, gambling on the micros, and just broke every rule in the book.
I hate that.
I mean, I didn't blow out my account or anything.
No, like, no.
The world's not over. World's not over.
It's the nice thing about doing that on the micros.
But I took Thursday off, and I did spend quite a lot of time reflecting. Like, oh, well, I spent a lot of time wallowing in misery and loss of confidence. And
you know,
really, really soaking that up. And I mean, there's other stuff going on in my personal life that's bringing me down too. But really what it came down to was I was just being arrogant and not following the process in the system because I'm better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not. I'm not better than the process. I'm not better than the system. And then ultimately, it led to Thursday night. Admittedly, a couple drinks in, it just clicked that, like, okay, Dan, you need to write out. Like, manager Dan was like, okay, rookie trader Dan, like, if you're fucking better than this place, you're fired. Right now, I'll tell you that right now. If you think you're better than the fucking process, get the fuck out. You're not a trader.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna trade. You're not a trade bro. Get the fuck out. So I wrote myself a list of five rules, the fifth one being gamblers are booted for two sessions, this session and the next session.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I sat out Thursday. I was like, okay, I followed that rule. Like, I kicked myself out of the trading room. Come back when you're ready to be a pro. Five rules, including a morning routine and a post-trade routine, that if I'm not following, Dan the manager is not going to let Dan the trader keep working as a trader. And Friday, that's why it was my good. I followed the rules. I only made one trade, and it was profitable.
There you go. It's so important to be able to recognize when you need to stop, I think, in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had the same issues too, where, like, it's funny too, because you could always stop sooner. You could always caught it sooner, but the fact that you catch it is a good in my book.
Yes.
Anytime you catch it and you put an end to it, or you address it, like, that's a big win.
Yeah.
And you'll never grow if you can't do that.
I actually wrote a long apology to George in the Discord. I was like, I signed this contract and I fucking broke it, bro. I'm sorry. He hasn't responded back, so it might have been too much. No. I don't know. No, he's been sick. I know that. But, like, that's how low I was. I was like, I need to fucking apologize to George for letting myself down.
There you go. Well, it's good to have someone to be accountable to.
What was, speaking of accountability, what was your ugly?
Okay. So I got into a plug trade when I saw some tweets coming out about the flow going into it, and I knew it was the day before earnings. I picked them up, and my plan was to get rid of them, dump them, but before close, like, regardless of wherever they finished, because I knew I was going to get killed by that theta. I forgot to dump them.
Ooh.
So I took like a 50.
How are they doing?
Well, it was a small entry anyway. It was just ugly because I just basically threw away money by not remembering to close them out. I could have closed them out at pretty close to whatever I paid for them. I closed them out the next day, like, as soon as the market opened. I just got out of them. I took about a 50% loss on it. Again, luckily it wasn't a very big position, but still, that's no way to be a trader.
That's not how you make money.
No, you'll just throw away money just because you forgot.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my bad.
Yeah. Oh, you're ugly.
My ugly. That definitely. Yeah. It was going to be my bad, but I think that definitely deserves to be ugly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I know I've made that mistake a million times, but I don't normally see you making those mistakes. So I'm going to say that's ugly.
I've made them. Normally I talk myself into wanting to hold it for the gambler side of me. This time I just plain forgot. All right. Well, should we do a bet? Wrap this thing up?
Yeah, we got to. I think you get to go first.
I do.
Breaking our most recent tradition.
I am going with Live Nation, LYV. After looking back at how well we've done when we've been analyzing these stocks that we've looked at, makes a lot more sense, I think, to try to trade those. So
yeah.
I'm going to short it. I have a take profit at 108 and a stop at 125.
I like it. I like it. I like your stop. I think your take profit is a little, I would put my take profit a little lower, but
hey, trade. I like it still as a bullish stock, so I don't really want to be on the short end of it too long. I want to just get in, get my money, and get out. I want that gap fill, and that's it. I want out.
I need to get out of anything that I've been doing. It hasn't been working. I'm gonna throw one at you that might seem like it's coming out of nowhere. PEI, Pennsylvania Real Estate Investment Trust.
PEI, that sounds familiar.
They did just have earnings that was...
looks kind of flat, it looks like.
Dead on.
Yeah.
Looks fairly flat, but I think it's at support at $1.50.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that this week will be an up week for them. I'm not going to short them. I think I'm catching them on...
trying
a
to
bounce up,
trying to
a pullback,
trying to catch the bottom.
I'm trying to fade a bear run.
Gotcha.
I'm gonna go long. I'm gonna put my stop at a dollar. Well, 10% is 15 cents. I'm gonna put my stop at $1.40. And I'm gonna take profit at, we'll say, $1.75. I'm gonna take 50% profit at $1.75, and then with a 10% trail.
Okay, and stop loss. I would also suggest that maybe if it drops down to like the 120 to 110, you should go long again.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't think it'll do that in a week.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at. What do we got for random?
Give me odd or even.
Ooh, evens.
And give me 1 through 12.
6.
NASDAQ Public Utilities.
My favorite.
Audio Codes Limited, AUDC.
Right.
It's an interesting stock pick. Right.
I am seeing a fucking triangle.
Yeah.
It's close to its top, too.
It looks like it wants to break that $36.75
to $37
area.
37 range,
uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Right. God damn it.
Touche, random. Touche.
There you have it, folks. There's our bet picks. Kyle's got LYV. I'm doing PEI. And random is AUDC, audio codes. Come back next week. Find out how we did. We also, between now and then, stay tuned. We got the Deborah W. Ellis episode coming out this week.
Is it Deborah or Deborah?
It's probably Deborah, but my mom's name was Deborah, so like it's just ingrained. When I see it, that's how I read it.
Mrs. Ellis, yes.
You got to have the W in there because of the children's author.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Anyway, that was a great, great discussion we had with her. She's a certified financial advisor. You stay tuned for that episode. Like, share, subscribe, let your friends know. We love you all here. We love having more people in here, too. And until next time, folks, happy trades.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.